For Husky Sports, I'm John Peterson, joined once again with the editor of theopenmat.com, Jason Bryant. Jason, last time we talked wrestling, 2014 was brand new, and the season on the mat was just heating up. Now there is less than a month remaining in the season, and the only thing on the majority of the wrestlers' minds are, I better wrestle to my peak, or my bags are going to be packed for me on a one-way ticket back to the closet until next fall. Especially for Super Region 3 in Division 2 wrestling, who have their region championships in Edmond, Oklahoma this Friday. Breaking down the dominance of Super Region 3, 7 of the 17 teams in the region represent the nation's top 20, including the number 2, 3, and 4 teams, which are Nebraska, Kearney, St. Cloud State, and Central Oklahoma. In the individual rankings, 32 Super Region 3 wrestlers are ranked, including 5 number 1 ranked wrestlers at 133, 149, 157, 165, and 197, and of course 149 pounds that have the top 5 wrestlers in the country at Division 2. Jason, this region championship is pretty much a mini national tournament. Talk about what you know of the complete dominance that is the conferences of MIAA and the NSIC.
Well, I can tell you, John, it's duck and cover because you're going to have a really hard time getting out because there is just some deep, deep plates. I mean, you alluded to 149. You know, Trevor Johnson was an All-American a couple years ago for Mary, and he's sitting there. You know, Chris Basford has a set of Division II rankings that he throws out, and just in the region, an All-American is ranked 8th. I mean, you've got Division I transfers like Frank Cagnina, who was in a round of 12 from Lehigh a couple of years ago. Edwin Cooper, who probably was talented enough to wrestle Division I. He won a junior national title. Destin McCauley's been on junior world teams. You know, Jordan Basker returning All-American. And then, you know, you got Ryan Mouse, who's sitting there 3rd last year for Truman State. You know, according to Basker, he's only ranked 6th in the region when he was 3rd in the country last year. So this region's going to break out. It's just going to be a war. And it's one thing that they've at least gone to the 5 qualifiers in each weight. So that's one less guy sitting home at those weight classes. Because looking at it, if they were just straight 4, there would be a ton of guys just sitting home going, what the heck?
Now, is this great for Division II, knowing that they did realign the regions this year? There are 2 regions that will bring 5. That is Region 2 and 3. And then Region 1 and 4 will bring 3. When you have a stacked weight like 149 in Region 3, you have 8 or 9 guys that are all Americans. And 3 of those guys will be sitting home. Do you think Division II should go to a Division I format where there are at-large bids other than just having a set amount of wrestlers for each weight?
You know, with the growth in Division II, with teams reclassifying from the NAIA and new programs popping up, ultimately I'd love to see there be enough conferences in Division II where they can follow an NCAA Division I type of model where there's conference championships. Because right now what we're seeing with the MIAA and the Northern Sun is basically it's like the Big Ten A and the Big Ten B if you're comparing it to Division I wrestling. I mean, now that the MIAA is sanctioned wrestling, that's kind of shuffled things around. Like Kearney was in the Rocky Mountain Region 4 for the last several years, and now that they're aligning all these teams into the same region with their conference affiliation, you know, you're seeing Lindenwood in their first year in Division 2 after reclassifying from the NAIA. It's, you know, as far as qualifications goes, I like the regional format in some ways, and in the other ways, since I covered Division I almost, not exclusively, but I covered heavily, is seeing, you know, sometimes seeding would really help in some cases because, you know, some situations you got a kid injury defaults to 4th in the region when he's clearly maybe a 1 or 2 guy in the country, you know, freak things like that happen. So it would avoid some, you know, some weak quarters versus some monster quarters. Sometimes we've seen the championship bout of the top 2 guys in the country meet in the quarters. And in a regional format, it doesn't necessarily allow seeding. Now, if they kept the region and went with the seed, that would be rather interesting. I don't know how you would do that. But from what I've seen with the new qualifying procedure, and it's kind of hard to call it new because it's been the 6th year in Division I with the, you know, the RPI, the coaches' percentage and the winning percentage and the coaches' vote, it seems to work well. The best kids go. The kids that should go, go. I mean, it's not like you're leaving NCAA qualifiers home because they had one bad day. The regional format is good because, you know, you wrestle your way in. But, you know, sometimes there's those holes like with a loose quarterfinal or, an injury default in the regional can shake things up and really cause havoc at the national tournament.
Speaking of scary things happening, like someone losing in the quarterfinals of the region that is ranked in the nation, that could easily happen in Super Region 3 this upcoming Friday and Saturday in Edmond, Oklahoma. What do you tell those kids? If you're a coach, knowing that, okay, in the season you've been doing pretty well, you're ranked in the nation, you have a pretty tough class though, what do you tell the kids knowing that, okay, this is the postseason, if you mess up, you're going home?
Well, thankfully it's double elimination in there. There's no need for a true fifth because it's built into the bracket. In cases where the true fourths, when they were qualifying four, could really cause some things where, the guy goes out there and guts it out. He says, all right, I won that tough consolation quarterfinal or semifinal to get into the third place match, and all of a sudden you lose and you got to come back and wrestle a guy you hadn't wrestled. So at least with the fifth and the fives and the threes from each respective region, it's going to be wrestled out. So you're going to exactly know who's where. But, taking a loss early, it happens. I mean, the question is how the rest of the bracket falls. One loss isn't going to ruin your tournament, because you've got to lose twice to be out. So if you lose early and get upset, you just know that, all right, I got to, strap them up, and do I want to just bag it and say call it a season, or do I want to actually, show the mettle a little bit and go out there and realize this is why you got into the sport. Nobody gets into the sport to lose and say, all right, I lost, I'm going home. So, and some of it's bracketing. I mean, if you take a loss early and then you're coming through the backside of the brackets and then you've got like a guy that's the top seed or considered a top seed gets upset in the semis, he could be on an emotional letdown. That's the perfect time to see, to get that upset and get through and leave one of your basically eliminate one of your top competitors from the national tournament. I mean, those Concy semis, and in some cases the Concy quarters, are going to be absolutely huge for the week after.
We are talking to the editor of theopenmat.com, Jason Bryant. We've talked about the domination of 149 pounds in Division II. The current rankings have Central Missouri's Frank Cagnina, number one, Upper Iowa's Edwin Cooper, number two, Nebraska Kearney, Destin McCauley, number three, Lyndon Woods, Terrell Wilborn, number four, and then Central Oklahoma's Jordan Basks is number five. Looking away from 149 pounds, looking at 133 pounds, there's also five ranked in that weight, with returning runner-up Andy Picorni ranked number one, with the defending national champion Daniel DeShazer from Nebraska Kearney now ranked number seven, because of the person that he lost to last week in the MIAA Championships, who's ranked sixth, Casey Roll of Central Oklahoma. So not just 149, but 133 has some pretty good kids supporting Super Region 3. With Roll getting that big win over the defending national champion, that really has to open up some spaces for a lot of these big contenders this weekend in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Well, one thing about DeShazer is he's been off the mat quite a bit this year. He's been nursing, I believe it was an ankle injury, and he really didn't have a whole lot of mat time this year. So it didn't surprise me that he lost the match and dropped in the rankings as a result. There's a couple X factors to consider here, too. I mean, Nate Rodriguez is a tough freshman out of Wachita Baptist. He's a Missouri native, and he's having a pretty good freshman season. And then there's a guy, Matt Katusin. A lot of people might not know him. He was out of Omaha. I believe he was a Scott Catholic kid, and that tremendous program there that Brad Hildebrand has out in Omaha. And he was an NAI All-American, I believe, at Midland. And he was a high-level Division I recruit. Now he's resurfaced at Lindenwood. So, this kid's got a lot of experience. He's a little older than some of the other seniors, and he could be a real X factor at the weight class. So, that's one thing that really... he's a guy I'm kind of interested to see how he's going to do, because he's got a load of talent. The question is he been away from it long enough, too long, to really be a factor?
We've talked about 149 pounds and 133 pounds. There's a weight that we have four wrestlers ranked. That's 197 pounds, with the defending national runner-up from Nebraska Kearney, Romero Cotton, and then ranked number two, a returning All-American, Carl Broghammer of Upper Iowa, and then ranked number five is Jay Dockin of Augustana, also a returning All-American, and then Tanner Chris of Fort Hays State, at number 7. This is another weight where this is going to be pretty difficult for those kids that are not in the rankings to really make a splash at regions.
Yeah, and I think it's guys that might have a little bit of trouble scoring that are going to be in trouble here, and some of it's all the draw. Like, look at Chris Purcell from St. Cloud State. He's a guy that doesn't score a whole lot of points in all of his wins. He wins a lot of matches, but he also has a lot of close losses, and it's one of those situations where he can't afford to get behind in any of these matches, because anywhere he has that in the bracket, he's going to have a tough draw. So a guy like him, I think Tanner Chris might be the most susceptible because he hasn't spent a whole lot of time on the mat this year. But, at least with that weight class, there are three of the top eight guys in the country in there, four of the top eight guys, rather, and a couple All-Americans. But for a guy like Purcell, it's like, all right, where's the right draw? I think he could just as easily find his way in there and knock off one of those guys. I don't know if it's going to be Cotton or Broghammer. I think Dockin and Chris might be the two guys that might be prone to the upset.
Other than 149, 133, and 197, those are the three weights that we have discussed. They're three of the, I think, in my opinion, Super Region 3's three toughest weights. Is there any weight that comes to mind, Jason, that everyone should look forward to as kind of a dark horse, kind of a sleeper for this upcoming Super Region 3 tournament?
I think there's a ton of them, to be honest with you. I mean, I think every other weight, I mean, you can make a case for most weights. I mean, look at 141, C.J. Napier is there, Matt Nelson's there, Josh Myers from Wachita, Brock Kochu from Kearney, Bruno from Mankato. I mean, you got all Americans all over the place at 141. 65 is solid as well. You got the returning national champ at 157, along with a couple of All-Americans there. And 184 is going to be interesting. You know, Dallas Smith from Wachita was pretty much the number one in the country, or number one guy in the country all season, until he got upset by a guy that was unranked coming in, John McArdle from Lindenwood. So, you know, you got Mark Fiala and Nick Farrell in there. I mean, it's just every weight class is going to be monstrous. So, I mean, there's not a bad weight in this region by any means. I mean, everybody there that qualifies has a shot to be an All-American, in my opinion.
The NCAA Division II Super Region 3 Wrestling Championships will be coming to Edmond, Oklahoma this weekend as 17 teams in Division II wrestling will wrestle for their seat in the NCAA Division II Championships in Cleveland, Ohio in 2 weeks. You can hear all of St. Cloud State wrestling matches on the KVSC sports stream. Just log on to kvsc.org/listen/sports.m3u. And you will hear the play-by-play from myself and the color commentary from Brad Hildreth starting this Friday and ending on Saturday. The editor of theopenmat.com, Jason Bryant. Thank you very much for joining me, Jason.
Absolutely. Appreciate being on.